Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
What to watch
on Point of View.
In the flesh. He's in the building and he's welcomed to this building, the seat, the studio with that wonderful billboard. Leroy Markan, what to watch.
Real person.
Hello, Leroy. Hello, Leroy.
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
So, are you religious?
Me? Oh, I am. I am, but I'm also very spiritual. So, okay. It's very interesting for me because, yeah.
Are you worried about the Pope?
I am worried about the Pope. So, I was raised Catholic. My grandfather was Catholic.
So, you understand what's happening there?
Very much. I was raised Catholic until I was actually, I could drive myself to my own church and decide what church I go to. And
once a Catholic, always a Catholic.
Yeah,
they can pretend to run away. Once a Catholic,
always go back. Always go back. And for me, what's happening now with Pope Francis is very interesting because I'm very interested in the background of what happens when we select the Pope. Remember, this person is the connection between God and 1.6 billion people of the world.
Direct light.
Mamela, how na reception? Once you speak to Papa. Papa will give you all the access you need.
So, I'm Catholic.
Oh, okay.
And I don't believe that.
What do you think is so fascinating about the world of the papacy
because it's actually political.
Very political. I'm glad you used that word.
That is what's fascinating about it, because it's more political than it is spiritual. That's what's fascinating about
political is a word they use in conclave about what's happening.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a seat of power, as I said, 1.6 billion people are beholden to whatever the papacy says. For me, it's so interesting. But there's when you're watching YouTube and things pop up?
Yes.
There's this one random guy, and it's a bit of a deviation, but he's so annoying because he'll ask these random questions like, which country has the most drug cartels or whatever, and he asked, which is the most which country has the biggest crime rate? So I thought South Africa. Turns out it's the Vatican. Because it's the smallest.
It's concentrated.
It's concentrated. So for me it was very interesting. But
And all the sins in the Vatican are forgiven.
Yes.
You just have to say sorry.
Askisi.
And then it's all forgiven, guys. What's the problem?
I just think it's so interesting. And Dan Brown, obviously, as a writer, really shone the light on the papacy by doing exactly that, sort of pulling the veil back in his work of fiction and getting people to understand what happens in conclave. I've been very fascinated by it. It's so exciting. That's why the two poems are so interesting.
I mean, just as a by the by, I don't necessarily think any other religious institution is better. I don't. And the reason I point this out, just because we are now saying, okay, the spotlight is on this for now, it doesn't mean that if we then move the lens to another institution, there'll be no holes. They're everywhere because these are human beings.
Ultimately.
This is the thing. These are human beings and they're flawed and no.
So
I don't think there's a direct line.
So for me, the two popes is actually very interesting because it does actually shake that a bit. So we've reviewed the movie once before, but this is in 2019 when the movie comes out.
Yeah.
And remember the issue of the two popes is that you've got these two popes, and usually the job of being pope is one you take to the grave, In the two popes is a line where they say that, you become the religious martyr. The reason why Russia and America and South Africa, all these leaders go to the pope is because the pope's job is one for life. You die in the job, as opposed to a presidency where you stay in and you do something and you have to live the legacy thereafter. And for me, what's very interesting is that, remember, Pope Francis, his conclave took place when there were two popes. This hasn't happened in 600 years, where the two popes were existing at the same time. And so the two popes for me is very interesting because you start seeing the very interesting nature of the papacy of Pope Francis. And that's why we bring it up today, that he was the pope that decided that, who had the baton handed to him by Pope Benedict, and he had to battle with whether or not he should take it on as a political instrument, because succession in the papacy doesn't work like anywhere else. You have to literally die. It's like being a monarch, and you can't say, Tinyege, and then you can carry on with it. And that shook the foundations of Catholicism, because Catholicism because of that. Because now you're going to have a pope who's alive and is able to almost be a former pope. There is no precedent for that in 600 years.
I mean, the reason these, for me, are really important, these documentaries, sometimes film around these religious organizations, is to deal with a sense of righteousness that sometimes religion has, this halo on it that is not shaken, and, you know, it's not questioned, it's not critiqued. And actually, for me, the responsibility is to constantly question.
Absolutely.
Even as you're a devout Christian or whichever denomination. That's where the fine balance is. If you really believe that there is God in that religion, you should have the right to critique it, to constantly ask the bigger question. Because as I said, these are all human beings. These are political institutions, actually.
And in the time we live in right now, in this particular zeitgeist, at this very moment where we have this, you know, fight between us and America, I mean, us being the world versus the global West being America, for me, is very important why we do that. Because one of the legs the Trump administration stands on is this idea of being hyper-religious, right? Where God is one God and is a Christian God and is the only God. And Trump has been anointed and ordained by God to save America and the world. And as you say, he is human. And he's taking on these godlike qualities because he's decided that to be. And it's, I love what you say about that. You know, it's an institution made of human beings.
Yeah. And again, the point of why we're having this discussion, obviously, is because we want you to watch Conclave.
Yes.
We also want you to watch The Two Popes. Mm-hmm. One of the things that comes very strongly there is exactly that, a very, very acute lens on the Catholic Church. But, you know, just leading up to the elections, the US elections, I spent a lot of time listening to the religious radio stations in the US.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's like you are listening to something. It's like this very, let's say it's a Catholic church. It is like if you listen to the Catholic Church radio or whatever platform in the US and one here, it's like you're listening to two different churches.
Yeah. Two worlds apart.
Because of, it's exactly that, because it's so political. And the environment with which they reside, also very, very political. And in fact, at some point, I stopped listening because, my goodness, it was like I was listening to a gathering of the Republican organization on steroids.
Yeah, the GOP sitting there.
And these people can recite the Bible backwards.
Yes.
And they are religious and they're devout, but they're so political as well in how they frame their messaging. I felt uncomfortable.
You made the point about you have to question.
Yes.
The reason why politics rests so heavily on religion is because to question is to be sacrilegious. So how dare you say, I'm not anointed and appointed to be here as your leader. You, by questioning that, are questioning my authority and by implication, God. That's why they do this leaning in. This. I mean, I always find it so interesting that America, being a home of immigrants, which by definition is like diversity 101, their national anthem literally speaks to this one singular God, right? It doesn't speak to the diversity of it all. But interestingly enough, and moving to our second movie, being Conclave, is that it actually highlights just
before
how...
Before you go.
Okay.
Before you go. I just have to. Oh my gosh. Anthony Hopkins. Oh,
beautiful.
You know, you could watch him 100 times over. And the same brilliance that we saw on, was it Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
This man is just magic. Just magic.
So they asked the director in one of the interviews, why does he do these incredible close-ups,
man.
Right? Why? So let me tell you why I love Anthony Hopkins, who is very different from Jonathan Pryce, right? But they're very similar in my adoration for them is very similar.
Absolutely.
Anthony Hopkins is the typical method actor.
Oh, man.
He will you move a word out of his lines, he can tell. He'll tell you, no, the line yesterday read 1, 2, 3, and you're now making it 1, 3, 2. And you now, I need to go back, right? Whereas Jonathan Pryce, who plays the part of Cardinal Bergoglio.
Yes.
He is very much about the feeling and the emotion of the popes.
Yes.
But there's a scene where they're sitting down facing each other, the current pope and the pope to be.
And they incredible.
And Anthony Hopkins' face, it's almost like the words originated from him, and you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like
he's
there was
such
never
a skilled
a moment.
Actor. He's such a thespian. He's such a brilliant. He really, really is just such...
Then you watch it behind the scenes, right? Mm. And you realize how much of a like prankster he is. So there's a part where...
Oh, I never saw that.
So what happens is that they cut the scene.
Yes.
The scene very intense, yes. Very thoughtful.
Yes.
You know, they're talking.
Yes.
And a big part of the two popes is conversations.
Yeah.
Just conversations.
Of course, brilliant dialogue. Yeah. Without that dialogue, there is no form.
There's no really big...
There's no form.
...moments.
That dialogue
you know?
Is... beautifully written.
Just these two popes. But then after he does this wonderful heavy scene, he's done. You know how the pope will do the air cross, you know, the crucifix in the air. But he does like an exaggerated version. Yeah. And he looks like a child, like a naughty yeah. child. His ears sort of stick out as well.
Yeah.
And you realize just in that moment that he is an actor.
Yeah.
Because up until that moment, I could have believed he was Pope Benedict.
Up until that moment, you believe he's a serial... He is the serial killer inside Silence of the
Lambs. Absolutely.
So he is magnificent. If you do nothing else this weekend, please watch it.
Absolutely.
Just for... And you don't have to be religious. You do not have to be Catholic. You do not have to care.
Yeah.
Just do it for
It's
the
because
love
the story
this.
Is universal because it talks about succession.
Yeah.
And the rules of succession for me are so interesting because the church, like any other institution, as we sit right now with the new president that's 3 months old in the job and only really 6 weeks old, and ours also, I mean, we barely have a year in our GNU situation, whatever you want to call it. For me, that's the interesting thing. Mm. What is the legacy that you're going to leave? And being around to watch your legacy, I mean, it's almost like art.
Yeah.
Think about how Jacob Zuma is right now, right? He's having to live through a second legacy as Pope Benedict did. It's absolutely brilliant. It's streaming now on Netflix. Please go and watch it. It's
called
The Two Popes.
Please watch it, guys. Please watch it. And it's also really good. I think it's good for those who, when we witness history, you'll have a bit of nice background.
Yeah, absolutely. And history will be done because of the nature of things. And we're hoping
Conclave is brilliant.
Conclave for me is very interesting because it so whereas we have the very deep in-depth emotional sort of journey you take with Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce right in The Two Popes, here it's actually where you see it's very very political. They don't show you a lot of the rules of why we're going to conclaves, for instance, because we just sort of see things happening. Yeah. But for me, it's also the fact that it's a sensationalization of
it's
the
thriller. It's a thriller.
I mean, the last, and I will not tell you what happens at the end of the movie, but it's going to knock your socks off completely that there's been literature written from here to Mexico about how it's sacrilegious.
I also love the fact that women are in this film
absolutely.
More present.
Mm-hmm.
Nuns are hardly seen generally. Mm-hmm. This is just, for me, I love that. I love the fact that they have faces, they've got voices, they are active agents in the story, and I love that.
But also, how parallel is this to sort of political office, right, where people literally campaign to be, and it hinges on the moment by moment, because there's a speech that happens where the so there's two contenders to be the new pope, we think, and these two contenders, you have this very hardcore. Very, you know, he wants to take the... Someone in the review said he wants to make the Vatican great again, if you know what I mean. So he wants to go back to Orthodox Catholic doctrine. And then you've got this very new age Obama sort of like cardinal who wants to take it on. And then you have Stanley Tucci
That's
in
funny.
Between, who's like a moderate, who's also like... You don't know if he's gay or not, but you sort of sit in there in the middle. And for me, what's interesting is that you also start seeing how it's a lobbying thing, right? And there's moments
Absolutely.
Happening. As you go along, where the Pope is loved at some moment, then he makes a big faux pas, and then the next person comes in.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just the absolute thrill of it all. And again, the background is the papacy, but it really could have been any other institution.
Cold wallet.
Okay, so again, keeping with current affairs and what's going on right now. So I am struggling to understand cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and all of that. So this was an interesting way to try and learn about
Did it.
Did
it help?
Not at all.
No,
in fact, I'm even more confused now.
I was going to say, I don't know. Hey,
I am so confused.
I started feeling so out of touch. I felt so stupid. I felt...
Me too.
No, this made me feel dumber than dumb. It made me feel so out of touch. And I kept thinking, I really am not of the century.
I feel like there's a big chunk of knowledge we're missing to make it make sense.
I don't know. And really, guys, I'm not kidding. I just felt like I'm of another century. I am so outdated. I am so behind. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's beyond my comprehension.
I plead every day. I plead every day for someone to give me a simple, like, 1, 2, 3 of what happens. But someone said to me, the issue with us is that we're trying to see crypto in relation
to money,
to normal currency. Money. Yeah. So it's a different world altogether.
I just want to say this, ne? Can I just give everybody permission who didn't get it, or who doesn't get cryptocurrency? Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, it has to be okay.
Now I'm at peace, folks. I'm going to say this one. Ne? It's okay. I don't get it.
So remember that the whole idea about cryptocurrency was the anonymity of it all. So in this particular movie called Cold Wallet, and the reason why it's called Cold Wallet and not like crypto, like you would think the name would be about a movie about, because it's a movie. Believe it or not, a terrible one called Crypto that was released in 2017. So the name is really because they couldn't find another one. Here's the idea. This man, broke, finds himself having a fight with his baby mama, with the baby, and says to her, listen, I want to be rich and you will not speak to me like this. There's this app where the cryptos, right? Where the Bitcoins. And he shows his partner. He's like, I want on so on dinner. You're busy shouting at me. Look at this. And as he does that, he sees that his wallet, whatever the wallet is on the app, is actually declining rapidly.
Someone's stealing.
Turns out that the person who owns this crypto, whatever happened, has caused the crypto
to tank.
Because apparently crypto, like the world market, is attached to events.
Yes.
Right. So, but because I can own the crypto and sell it to you, if something happens to me, or I do something, or I say something, my crypto can be affected by my...
Yes.
You get what I'm going with this?
It's like a brand thing.
It's like a brand thing, but very confusing. But now people are losing money. So this guy, Billy, gets coerced to go and recover the monies he lost because of the activity of this person who owns. And the activity is important, and I won't spoil it for you.
Yes.
So they go along to go try and redeem themselves, those things. It is the weirdest mix of like a thriller and a whodunit, but also a Dumb and Dumber slapstick comedy.
I don't know. If you're into this kind of thing, watch it. Actually, please come back next week and tell us.
And explain it to us.
Tell us what was happening there.
Because you know what it is, ne? Just because I don't get it doesn't mean I don't recommend it.
No, I want them to watch. Come back, ne? Please help us.
And it can't be that we're the only two people in Joburg that don't understand this.
What was happening there? What? I will leave it there because, I don't know. I didn't understand it.
It's called Cold Wallet. It's available for streaming and in theaters as of the 28th of February.
Uppercut.
Okay, so Ving Rhames, you know him, big brown man.
Yes.
He looks like him and
big.
So for me, what was interesting about this is what we always have the conversation about why movies do well in the Oscar buzz, right? This wasn't an Oscar pitted movie, so don't worry about that. But remember how Million Dollar Baby was?
Yes. Yeah.
Where you've got, it's boxing. So this is a really quintessential boxing movie. But it does this wonderful thing about having Tony, who is the protege, and Tony is a woman, and she's German, and she's being trained by Ving Rhames. But we have this jump in time where we also see her in the future, where she is a manager of a boxer.
Yeah.
We never actually get to see her boxing quite a lot. Mm. But what was very interesting for me was the parallels of being able to see a woman, one in a male-dominated sport like boxing. But for once, the woman that's not being the issue. I think sometimes with our activism in movies, we sort of lose the plot and just go too far the one way to prove a point.
Yeah.
And for me, in the world now, where being diverse and being anything but a white middle-aged man, it was so interesting to watch this interaction between these two people who are trying to impart on each other's strengths, where although Ving Rhames is teaching her how to be a boxer, he's actually imparting on her the rules on how to extract talent out of someone.
Yeah, I just thought the story was a gem.
Love the story.
The dialogue was a gem. It was It was warm.
It was warm. And I also just liked that it surprised me. Because I walked in there, the first 2 minutes, I was like, I know I'm going to get annoyed by me being able to tell. Because she's going to go into a fight. She'll be the underdog. Then she'll get hurt. And then she's going to triumph. But
no,
for me...
No, it was not that. It was lovely.
No, it was really great.
It was lovely.
Yeah, so Ving Rhames, who has a whole Golden Globe for himself, stars in Uppercut and is in theaters as of the 28th of February.
Okay.
So, Ratsamaya Ratieta.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to the market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't do music often because we like to tell the story, but I thought this was so exciting because the reviews have been absolutely amazing about what we can expect. So, think about this. We've got Madala Kunene, and you know him because...
Philip Tabane.
And for me, you know, who's an old new soul... I'm really rediscovering the genre of blues.
Yes.
And then South African blues, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's been very hard for me to place the genre because it's not from my era. So really enjoying discovering that. And so when I came across this, where you've got Usibusi Lekgaba, who then comes in with a Maskandi flavor, I was very intrigued to see how this would actually mix together. Then you find Wuhle Bendalo of the Soil Fame, right? She's also coming in as a guest artist. And then you have these percussionists, Bokhon Sibo Tsepo and the Dennis, coming together. It promises to be a feast. It's happening at the market as of the 8th of March. You have to go and watch it.
As of the 8th of March.
Yes.
We know how long it's running for.
It is 8th of March only for now. Okay.
But
there
if
are
you go
rumors.
And you demand, I think it'll come back.
Like,
I think
it'll come rumors back. Yeah. If we all show up,
pack the theater like to the brim.
Yeah.
Then they'll give us another day.
We always have a fight about we don't have great music in this country, but I think here in one moment you've got 7 great artists going to be on one stage. So we can't complain. This is at the market. Please buy tickets through markettheatre.co.za.
Leroy, see you next week.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.